Welcome into the Roughing the Passer podcast on the eve of the 2017 NFL Draft. Nick Costos joined alongside Will Brinson and Pete Prisco. Will, Pete joining us from the Jacksonville airport. His first flight canceled due to an hydraulics issue. So Pete, kind enough to join us from the airport. We may be interrupted intermittently by the noises of the PA system in that airport. Peter, how you doing, buddy?
Well, you know, I got good airport sources here, Nick, as you well know. So I might have to
talk
to them. I might have to tell them to pipe it down.
Will, are you familiar with this, by the way? I would say 51% or more of the information that Pete gets, his inside sources, it's actually the TSA at the Jacksonville airport.
No, he usually gets most of it in the men's room in Terminal B at the Jacksonville airport.
In the gutter.
What's wrong with that? I think, by the way, this is almost as good as the time you did the podcast driving from Fort Lauderdale to Jacksonville in a convertible with your hair blowing in the wind.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest lie out of that, first off, Pete doesn't drive a convertible. That's not the biggest lie, though. The biggest lie is that Pete's hair was flowing in the wind because Pete's been stark bald, I think, for the past 25 years or so. But enough about that. Let's get into the NFL draft. First round tomorrow, Thursday. We tape this on Wednesday, the day before. Will, the Cleveland Browns on the clock with the number one overall pick. They also have number 12 here. What direction do you think we'll see Cleveland go in?
Well, there is an interesting report out there from Adam Schefter of ESPN. Take it with a grain of salt situation, but you know, he is saying he's still hearing that the Browns could go Trubisky at number one.
Insanity.
I don't think it's going to happen because the reason you don't go Trubisky at one is that you can trade back up and get Trubisky if he's the guy that you want. That's one reason. The other reason is that Myles Garrett is the safest prospect in this draft, the best prospect in this draft, at least. And if you draft Mitch Trubisky and Myles Garrett's really good and Trubisky's not, you get fired. If you draft Myles Garrett, you're probably going to get off clean. I mean, look at what happened with Jadeveon Clowney. No one's complaining that the Texans took him. He eventually turned into a better player, maybe than Blake Bortles. But for a while there,
than Blake Bortles.
Definitely. I'm saying like after the 2015 season, people were like, what?
There was at least a debate about it because Bortles threw the 35 touchdowns.
And Clowney was hurt. All I'm saying is that it's the people tend to go safe and Garrett is the safe play there for them at one.
Yeah, and you know what, guys? Look, you're all, you know, Will, I call you the football sheep or the Twitter policeman or the patroller on Twitter because you follow everybody and you're following everybody when it comes to Myles Garrett as well. Look, I would take him number one overall, but because the quarterbacks aren't very good, that's why I would take him. But you look around at Myles Garrett and you watch his tape and you pop it in there, you don't see the production for a guy that's supposed to be that skilled, that athletic, that fast. Where's the production? He had 8.5 sacks last year. He had 4.5 against Texas Arlington. I think I could get 2 against Texas Arlington. Come on, there's not enough production there. But having said all that, I'd still take him and take my chance.
I'm not a sheep, but I'm going to follow the herd.
on Myles Garrett here, this is interesting, right? Because I've seen things thrown around like generational talent. The next Von Miller, which is maybe a lazy comparison, right? Because he's a Texas A&M pass rusher going at the top of a draft here. Do you guys think that Myles Garrett is closer to maybe like a middling NFL player than he is to Von Miller? Because that's the comparison that people are going to make as we get the announcement from the Jacksonville airport.
No, I don't think he's more like a Von Miller at all. I just don't see that at all. No way. I think he's, you know, let's go back in history when the Cleveland Browns used the number one overall pick on a defensive lineman that was a can't miss. Do you remember him?
Courtney Brown.
He was a bust. He was a major bust.
He wasn't a bust. He just wasn't worthy of the number one overall pick. He was a good player. Gerard Warren was a bust.
He was a solid player. He wasn't worth the number one overall pick. And that's what you're going to get with Garrett, I think. You're going to get a solid player and not a guy worth the number one overall pick. The problem is, who else would you take? There's nobody else in this draft class to take at number one. So they almost have to because the quarterbacks aren't that good.
Yeah. I was going to say, just to be clear, like, to me, I think, Solomon Thomas is not quite, I mean, I guess he's a little bit less of a prospect than Myles Garrett. I think he's got maybe a little bit more upside. I mean, you watch Garrett against Alabama, it's not that impressive, you know, those are the sort of talent he's going to be playing against in the NFL. I don't disagree with you, Pete. I don't think that Myles Garrett is this generational talent or whoever said that, Nick, whatever it was. But I do think that he is going to be the number one pick because, again, teams tend to do things that don't get them fired or that are least likely to get them fired. And for me, that's the Myles Garrett pick.
Derek Barnett will be a better pass rusher in the National Football League than Myles Garrett. Tape that, keep it, pull it out in 5 years. How's that?
I love
Derek Derek Barnett's going to be a first-round pick, the pass rusher out of Tennessee, actually the leading sacker in the history of the Volunteers program, besting a guy that you might have heard of by the name of Reggie White. All right, so we covered the Browns here at number one. The consensus seems to be that they're going to take Miles Garrett, Stan Pat, take the A&M pass rusher. Now, here's where the draft starts to get really interesting, in my estimation, with the San Francisco 49ers on the clock. Now, I know you guys saw the reports earlier this week that the Niners considering Mitch Trubisky at number two. When I read that, I'm thinking that's John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan basically saying, please, someone come up and trade for this pick so we can trade down, accumulate more assets. Let's get some talent on this roster here. Pete, start with you here. Where do you see the 49ers going with number two overall?
I don't think they're going quarterback because I think they have their eyes on Kirk Cousins next year. And also the draft class is significantly better next year from a quarterback standpoint. So I don't think they're going to take a quarterback. I think that's a bunch of smoke screening. I think they're going to take one of two players. Solomon Thomas has been linked to that spot by everybody in the league for a long time. John Lynch is a Stanford guy. John Lynch has been told by people that he's listened to in the past to draft passers and pass rushers. Well, there's no passer here, so you take the pass rusher. I think Solomon Thomas will be their pick. And if he's not, I think Jamal Adams, the safety at LSU, will be the other choice.
Wow, at number two. Wow.
Wouldn't it make sense though, if you're John Lynch and you're a new GM and you're coming in and you're learning how to, you know, you're learning your job on the fly a little bit and you're trying to figure this out? What do you identify better in terms of talent than a potential safety?
Well, look, if you look at their safety position, it's not very good. So it makes a lot of sense. This guy's a game changer. Lynch knows
they're not good anywhere, though, pretty much. That is a horrendous roster.
You know, one of the new ones you're hearing is the possibility of Fournette there at two. That would be surprising to me.
They got Carlos Hyde, and I know he's injury prone, but I mean, they got a running back who's pretty solid already.
And this is a deep running back class. I don't think they can afford to do that. So I think it's either going to be Thomas or Adams in that spot.
Well, do you think that, and look, I get what you're saying here, and Will, that kind of made my eyebrows raise a little bit here when you said Thomas could be the better prospect than Miles Garrett. You look at the 49ers' last two first-round draft picks, and again, that was Trent Baalke. That's a different regime than we've got now with John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. But Eric Armstead and DeForest Buckner, the two kids out of Oregon, the two Pac-12 defensive ends, moving now from a 3-4 to a 4-3, can they make it work, assuming they go with Solomon Thomas? Can they work this out on the defensive line with these three Pac-12 defensive players here as they transition to this new defensive front?
Yeah, I mean, I think the one red flag that people keep throwing out about Solomon Thomas is maybe that he, you know, couldn't be a 4-3 end. I don't know, you know, it would be better off as a 3-4 end. I tend to think that a guy with his...
He's a 4-3 end, right, Will?
I think so. I think,
yeah,
I think
he could go slide inside and be like an Aaron Donald, but...
Well, yeah.
Wow.
He's 20 years old, though. That's the thing. He's only 20 years old. Think about it when he grows into that body. His hands are amazing. I think he's going to be a star in the NFL, by the way. You know, people already anoint Miles Garrett. I think Solomon Thomas is going to be a star.
Hey, Pete, let me ask you this. What do you think about the fact that Miles Garrett likes poetry? I'm not even joking. I'm being dead serious.
I hate it. I hate the fact he likes poetry. I hate the fact that he
what about art?
Art. I hate the fact that he likes dinosaurs. I hate the fact that he plays an instrument. Focus on football. You can do all that other crap when you're done playing football.
We won't get too much on this here because you could do an entire podcast just on that topic alone. But look, after the NFL season, when I personally had, as Pete will attest and will tell anyone with ears that will listen, I had a little bit of downtime, right? Coming off working a ton during the football season where I was able to, like, at that 3 weeks, take time and really, like, dive into news, right? Cause I'm a news junkie, like, and I don't have time really, like, during the football season to cover politics, right? Because you're in the throes of football season. So I like to cook and I'm cooking all this new stuff. But then, like, once March rolls around, it's tournament time. Like, you gotta lock in. So, like, it's okay to have side interests, I think, but it can't come at the expense of what you're actually being paid to do. So I think that both of you guys, and Will, you never said what your point was, but I think it's pretty much you didn't need to say it there, where guys can have outside interests, but it can't, I think, sort of overtake what your actual job is. And for Miles Garrett, of course, that will be rushing the passer at the highest
level. Some scouts think he has a soft face, too, by the way.
Soft face.
What the hell does that mean? And what scout said that? Unnamed scout? Like first name, unnamed, last name scout?
Does that mean like he's like a soft human? Or does it mean like he has like fat on his face? Or like what is it?
What does he look like, a nice guy?
Like, Well, like, you two are soft, and you have soft faces. I mean,
we're not all leathery.
I was going to say, yes, I would say that Pete faces two things, and they rhyme, leathered and weathered for Pete Prisco's face. All right, the Chicago Bears, guys, on the clock at number three here. They signed Mike Lennon to be their quarterback this year, but there's really no guarantee past this season that Mike Lennon's going to be the guy. So they're a potential fit for a quarterback here. Also have a ton of holes on that defense, specifically in the secondary. Will John Fox, Ryan Pace, and company got to get it right in year three of this current regime? Who are they going with at number three?
I think that you will see the Bears go Solomon Thomas if he's there. And if not, I think you will see them go with Jonathan Allen out of Alabama. Now, look, this is assuming that there's no real medical issues with Allen, but Allen is the guy, and I'm not comparing him to Joey Bosa, but I think that last year during the draft process that Joey Bosa got hampered by the fact that he was so productive in college and maybe not quite as productive in this draft process, right? Like, Jonathan Allen was really good in school for years and good on tape and disruptive at the line of scrimmage.
May I interrupt? I interject for just 1 second to add this. Jonathan, to your point, Jonathan Allen was not good in college.
Great.
Jonathan Allen was superhuman at Alabama. Superhuman. Go on.
And my point is that a lot of times we, and by we, I mean fans, media, front offices do it too, lose their minds when these guys start performing well in lead up to the draft. And I think it gets lost in the
shout
in
out
the
to
shuffle.
Mike Mamula. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And like, Jonathan Allen's a really good player. Now, if it's John Fox making the call, I think it's a lock, because that's a John Fox guy, defensive lineman, safe, high end prospect. But, you know, I could see Ryan Pace going in a different direction. I just think that they'll go defense to try and shore up that side of the ball.
Yeah, but I think it's going to come down to whoever the 49ers don't take of the two we talked about. If they don't take Solomon Thomas, I think they take Solomon Thomas and they stand him up, by the way, which would be a freak. If they take Solomon Thomas, then I think the Bears will take Jamal Adams. Jonathan Allen's shoulders are a concern. I love Jonathan Allen. I think he's going to be a great player. But what is he? He's not a pass rusher. He's not big enough to go inside. I think he can go inside on third down. But I think there's some concerns about him and where he plays. I think the Bears will take either Thomas or Adams in that spot.
Pete, just two questions for you. Do you think that he would fit as a 3-4 end in that Fangio system? And do you think – so you mentioned Thomas as standing up outside as a rusher. So to you – and I tend to agree with this. Thomas can play 4-3 end. He can slide inside. He can play outside. Like, don't you think you can put Solomon Thomas anywhere? I feel like he's being unnecessarily boxed in during this the lead-up to this draft.
And by the way, then you would have Solomon Thomas and Leonard Floyd coming off both sides of the edges here on that Bears defense. Last year's first-round pick, Leonard
and
Floyd.
You could play him – and you could play him down. And I think if you play him down, he's got – you know, some guys have compared him to Aaron Donald. I mean, that's incredible comparison for Solomon Thomas. So I think the Bears will take Thomas, and then the 49ers will take Thomas. I think the Bears will take Adams or Allen. I think that's a possibility. And then you get the Jacksonville at four, and oh boy, what do they do?
Yeah, and last word on the Bears here before we get to the Jaguars. By the way, Will, what's Vernon Golston up to these days? Maybe hanging out poolside having a daiquiri with our good buddy Mike Mamula. If I'm Ryan Pace and I'm John Fox, that secondary is so bad. Kyle Fuller's coming off the injury. There's not a lot of talent there. I think they look at Jamal Adams. Maybe they look at Marshawn Lattimore, Malik Hooker. One of these elite players in the secondary, I think that's the direction we'll see Chicago going with that number three overall pick. Now, Pete, you referenced the Jaguars. You are Mr. Jacksonville. We have heard people banging the drum for Leonard Fournette. I think a lot of us anticipate that will be the selection. Take some of the pressure off of Blake Bortles here. I know what your philosophy is on taking a running back early in the draft. My question to you is not, should the Jaguars take Leonard Fournette? My question to you is, do you believe the Jaguars will take Leonard Fournette?
If they stay there and Thomas and Garrett are obviously both off the board, then it'll come down to a decision, I think, between Jonathan Allen and maybe trading down. They would like to trade down. And if they're stuck there, then Leonard Fournette. And I've heard from people in that building that they love Leonard Fournette. Tom Coughlin, remember, back in the day, he drafted Fred Taylor. He also drafted James Stewart in the first round of his first draft. He also tried to make a trade for Curtis Enos. He was going to draft Lawrence Phillips. There's a pattern there. He liked taking running backs early, but then you flip it. And you go to the Giants. He won two Super Bowls without any premier running backs. You know what I mean?
Bradshaw, seventh rounder. Jacobs, a fourth rounder.
Right. So I think he's changed a little bit on that. But I also hear that he loves Deshaun Watson. Loves Deshaun Watson. Now, they also, there's a lot of people. Dave Caldwell drafted Blake Bortles. So there's some of that in that building as well. So you got to figure out who they're going to do. I think they might try and trade out of that spot. And if they do trade down, the possibility, again, is either a running back or they love O.J. Howard. And I think O.J. Howard would be a great addition to that offense.
I agree with O.J. Howard as well. And I think I saw maybe his rap sheet or somebody like that on Twitter today saying that his like O.J. Howard came back with perfectly clean medicals, very clean prospect. You know, you're talking
about he's the cleanest prospect in this draft from a football playing standpoint, from a personal standpoint and everything else, a medical standpoint, cleanest player in this draft.
Except they never threw him the ball at Alabama, which is not necessarily his fault, but it's pretty noteworthy, I think, maybe aside from last year's national championship game.
But he can block too, Nick. He's a really good blocker.
Oh, I'm not disparaging him as a prospect. I just think it's weird that Alabama didn't showcase him more.
O.J. Howard's not the type of guy to do a podcast in the airport. Let's just put it that way. No, seriously, I think that blocking thing is interesting, Pete, when you look at both Howard for potentially the Jaguars or even the Panthers as a guy, like if you're in that top 10, you want to shore up your offensive line, or you want to shore up your running game or shore up your protection for your quarterback, but you don't want to take an offensive lineman. OJ Howard is a guy you can take and instantly help while also not really worrying about having a massive production out of him, as a receiving tight end per se in that first year.
Yeah. Here's the other thing you got to ask yourself about OJ Howard, you know, cause tight ends usually they don't go that high usually. What if he's Gronk? Is he worth going that high in that situation?
Yes. He's the best tight end of all time, and he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's worthy of the fifth overall pick. Yeah.
Or, you know, one of the other premier tight ends. If he's one of those guys, you got to take.
Is he a healthier Gronk? Yes. Like, take him at four.
Is he Kellen Winslow? Yes. Yes. Then is he Mike Ditka? Yes. Then
let me ask you this. Would you take, you know, I think the last tight end to go top five was Vernon Davis. I think only three, Kellen Winslow Jr., Ebron, and Vernon have gone to the top 10 in the last 15 years or so. Would you do the Vernon, like, would you take Vernon Davis at that spot for what he did for the 49ers?
No. I would not.
Okay. Definitely not.
All right. No.
All right. So we move on now to the Tennessee Titans here, right? At number five, their first of two round picks, first round picks. Remember, they traded down last year, the Eagles moving up to number two overall to get Carson Wentz. And I think this is an interesting spot because if the draft plays out the way you guys have said it's going to, the Titans are kind of in the catbird seat, right? As far as quarterbacks are concerned, with the Jets coming up at six. So my question to you guys right now is not who are the Titans going to take? My question to you, Pete, I'll start with you. Who is your favorite quarterback in this draft class?
Josh Allen. He's in next year's draft class.
Okay, so you did not answer the question. So I'm going to give you another opportunity. Who is your favorite quarterback in this year's draft?
It's Mahomes. Hmm. And I am a risk taker. I think there's some risk with him, but I think there's going to be great reward with him. I think the other guys are just guys. I think, you know, they might end up being serviceable starting NFL quarterbacks. Mahomes might end up being special, and I'm going to take my chance on special. Yeah, there's a lot of things he needs to work on. He's raw in the pocket. He throws from bad windows, like everybody says. But when you're playing quarterback in the NFL, you throw from a lot of bad levels and windows and everything else. So I would take Mahomes if I had my choice of these guys.
Billy B?
I would take Trubisky, but I don't disagree with Pete's assessment that Mahomes has the highest ceiling. I think if I'm I think a lot depends on the situation too, right? Like if you're the Browns and there's a good chance that the guy is starting for you out of the gate, I'd be a little nervous about Mahomes. Be a little nervous about Trubisky too. I think he's got a higher floor. Watson is the guy I would want to start day one, even though there are concerns about it just because of his experience in college. But Mahomes, I mean, he was throwing the ball 75 yards.
Kyle Fuller also threw the ball 70 yards from one knee and was a total bust.
Right. Yeah. I was about to say, I go back to Pete Prisco's talk about Bowler hitting a trash can from 75 yards away. I would go Trubisky as my top quarterback.
I think this whole conversation is so nuts because I think the answer is so clearly Deshaun Watson. Mm. And I remember into the national title game, I tweeted this out. Like, an NFL team is going to take Mitch Trubisky over Deshaun Watson and people are going to get fired did anyone watch Deshaun Watson play and did anyone watch this guy in the national championship game? He's a freaking winner. The guy is unbelievable. Like, he's the guy that I would want. Different.
So was Tebow.
Different.
So was Tebow. He was a winner too.
Tebow played in a gimmick offense. Deshaun Watson was not in a gimmick offense.
Yes, he plays in a gimmick offense. Yes, he does. There are games where he doesn't make NFL throws, Nick.
Their arm talent is the same, Watson and Tebow?
No, his arm is better, but it's not great either. And look, I can tell you that I talked to a team last week that put him on the board and he had problems with it. That's concerning to me. He didn't play in an NFL offense. You know, yes, he's productive, and everybody who talks to the kid loves him. He's going to be a good guy in the locker room to have around. He might be, you know, look, some guys have compared him to Russell Wilson. That's high praise, okay?
Yes.
But can he do all the things in to stay in the pocket and make the throws? That's a big question with me. Would I take him in the first round? Back end, maybe. Back end.
The answer that Pete gave originally is actually the right one. If you're a team in the top 10 or top 15, and you're one of those teams, you know, you're trying to get good, you desperately need a franchise quarterback, haven't been good in a while, you got to be patient. And it's hard for these guys to do that because of the economics. You just have to sack up and not take a quarterback and get one of these stud defensive players. You know, get one of these. I mean, I just think you're crazy if you don't go with a defensive back or a defensive lineman in this draft. It means that someone else is going to get richer while you take a huge risk.
So tons of intrigue here. The three of us all had three different answers here as to who the best quarterback in this draft is. So Thursday night, first round is going to be a lot of fun. Pete, go ahead.
By the way, the word going around the league is that the Jets and Browns are going to make a deal from guys I've talked to. This is no reporting or anything, but they've heard this, that they're going to make a deal 6 for 12 with the Jets trading back and the Browns going up to get Trubisky.
Wow.
But the question is, will Trubisky be there? If, because someone like the Bills could flip with the Titans.
Yeah, but
Pete, let me hit you with this here, because like I set that up with Tennessee being in the catbird seat. And look, I'm not saying what you're saying could very well happen, but Brinson's got a point too, in that Tennessee, the reports are that they want to trade down. People know that the Jets are interested at 6. People know that the Browns might want to come up also to 6. So Tennessee, John Robinson and company are in a spot here where they could potentially move down again and acquire another bevy of picks. What do you guys see happening at number 5 overall, whether it's Tennessee or another team?
I think Tennessee has to stay there and take Lattimore. I think they're in a situation. They signed Logan Ryan. They let McCourty go. They have major problems at corner. You got this guy. Somebody compared him to one of the scouts I talked to compared him to Jalen Ramsey coming out. That's high praise. You got to take Lattimore in that situation.
I think that, I mean, that's fine too. I think Tennessee ultimately wouldn't mind trading down, because remember, their second round pick is it their second round pick or their third?
They don't have a second round pick. They traded back up to take Jack Conklin.
So if I'm Tennessee, when I'm on the clock, I'm calling Cleveland like, hey, I got Sean McDermott calling me, pretending to be Doug Whaley. He's asking me about the,
hey, Sean McDermott doesn't have to pretend to be Doug Whaley anymore. Sean McDermott's the guy in Buffalo.
Yes, John Robinson, this is Doug Whaley. Could you hold for Sean McDermott, please?
Or Sasha Brown or whomever wants to come up to that.
No, I call the Browns. I say, look, the Bills are trying to come up here. Do you want your boy Trubisky? Give me 52. We'll flip these picks and get this thing done.
Yeah. So I don't think
the Bills are going to take a quarterback. So I don't think that threat's going to bother them.
I don't think it makes sense necessarily, right, for them to take a quarterback. I mean, you could argue, I guess it does kind of would make sense if they don't really like Tyrod, but let Tyrod play this year, and that they're not that far off from contending for a playoff spot here, right?
Which is why they need to add another player to go in and start right away. And the guy they draft isn't going to start right away. So, yeah, I don't buy. Granted, I hear they like Trubisky, but I don't buy the fact they're going to take one. If they go into this season, McDermott can feel out what he has there, and he's got the power. And next year, he can get one of the top quarterbacks. His next year's quarterback class is loaded. So I don't think they take a quarterback.
I would not be shocked if the Titans, if O.J. Howard's on the board, if Pete, your guy Mike Mularkey and his exotic smash mouth adds a tight end.
He lost Fasano.
But then he could run the ball 25 times a game with Derrick Henry, DeMarco Murray, and run play action down the seam to Delaney Walker and to O.J. Howard. That would be pretty good stuff for Marcus Mariota. All right, so now the Jets on the clock at number 6 here. We're going to get through as many of the teams in the first round as we can. Will Brinson, Mike Maccagnan, and Todd Bowles got to add some talent to this roster here. Where do you think they're going to go? Where should they go?
I like the idea of them. I think what they should do is add a piece in the secondary or add a piece on the defensive front. Again, because of the way that this draft works, I don't think that they should go quarterback. I do think they might go quarterback. If you're the Jets, you don't want to attach a guy as the face of the franchise, right? You got to prolong that as long as possible. If you're the Jets, there's not a guy who's going to win right now at quarterback. I would be fine with OJ Howard. I'd be fine with, either the safeties or Lattimore, or Jonathan Allen if he's there. I think you're at 6. And I think a trade down to 12 would be fine too if you can accumulate more picks. But at 6, you have to identify who are the best 6 guys in this draft. We're staying away from quarterback. We're taking one of those guys. And I wouldn't even hate if they went Fournette there either.
their roster is terrible. They got so many needs. They need to trade back and accumulate picks. I mean, they can't take a quarterback because they drafted one. I don't think they drafted one last year, and they've got an eye. And look, these guys, I talked to a bunch of them at the league meetings. They evaluate this quarterback class with an eye on next year's quarterback class. You can't always count on guys being who you think they're going to be, but next year's class has a chance to be special. And I think the Jets will be smart, try and accumulate picks. If they're stuck there, Howard is in play in a big way. I think OJ Howard could be their pick in that spot.
Last word here on the Jets, right? So year one of Mike Maccagnan and Todd Bowles, 10-6, obviously Ryan Fitzpatrick pisses down his leg in week 17. They lose to the Bills, no playoffs. Year two, complete and utter disaster. If they don't win this year, and look, as of right now, they're not winning, right? This is a team that could go 3-13 next year. If they don't take a quarterback now, I feel like Maccagnan and Bowles are not going to get the chance to take one at the top of next year's draft. So maybe they look at this as a way to extend their own careers and extend and ensure that they'll be there for another year. That's why I think they may end up taking a quarterback at 6, because they may see the writing on the wall. Hey, we're not going to get the chance to take one of these guys, whether it's Josh Allen or Josh Rosen or whomever else it may be next year. They may be feeling the heat now, and they may force their hand this year. You see that happening or no chance?
Oh, I think there's a chance, but I don't think they'll do it. I mean, because I don't think they'll save their jobs with that situation. I think they need to get some players and try and win some games and show some improvement. If they do that and show improvement, then they save their jobs. If they draft a rookie and he doesn't play, or even if he plays and struggles, I don't think that saves their jobs.
L.A. Chargers on the clock at number 7. I think the Chargers are going to be pretty decent this year. I think they're going to be a lot better than people think. Still got Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen coming back. Add some more pieces here via the draft. They should be able to get an impact player here. They'd love to go offensive line, but no one worthy of that number 7 overall selection here. So, Will, I see them going somewhere in the back end of that defense with the front 7 looking pretty good. What are you thinking here for the now Los Angeles Chargers?
You know what I actually want them to do? I want them to stun the world, and I want them to take Christian McCaffrey at 7. And I know that doesn't fit with what they need, but people were surprised when they took Joey Bosa last year, and he was the best player available to them. I think when you look at the running backs that Phillip Rivers has worked with in the past 5 or 6 years in San
Diego. Danny Woodhead comes to mind, of
course.
Danny
Woodhead, Darren Sproles. Sproles was there with him, right? Yeah, right? Yeah,
yes.
Sproles was there with him. Even like a guy like Brandon Oliver. All of these sort of like scat backy type guys who catch passes, can line up and receive, and can be sort of third down backy, but still actually carry the ball. They dominate in that system with Rivers. And I think Christian McCaffrey would be an unbelievable fit there, but I wouldn't.
Terrible pick. That's a terrible pick.
I like that
pick.
It's
a moronic, terrible pick. You can wait to the later in the draft and get the kid that lives in your hometown, Donnell Pumphrey, to do the same
thing. I love Pumphrey too.
They do the same thing. So why would you take him there? Look, Gus Bradley is taking over the defense. Gus Bradley runs single high safety. He needs somebody in the middle of the field that can patrol sideline to sideline. A guy in this draft has been compared to Ed Reed as a sideline to sideline player. That's Malik Hooker from Ohio State. They love Jamal Adams, but I think he's gone in this scenario. I think they take Malik Hooker if the medical checks out, because there's some concerns about his medical.
Yeah, a couple surgeries here in the offseason from Malik Hooker recovering from injury sustained during Ohio State season this past year. Will, Carolina Panthers on the clock at number 8. You're in the Carolinas here. What are you hearing about Dave Gettleman and company, what they're going to do?
Again, I know you're going to say the same name. You should.
No. You think they'll take McCaffrey, Pete?
I do.
But why do you love McCaffrey for the Panthers and not?
I don't love it. I just did a who they should take mock and didn't include any running backs in it. So, I don't love it, but I just think that they do. There's too much out there about them. Would I take them? No. I'm sitting here and I'm Dave Gettleman. He picks defensive linemen.
He's going to take Jonathan
Allen
on the
defensive line. Right. Of course he is. That's who he should take.
Now the question with Allen, though, if you look at, because like in their scheme, like you're not playing Allen as a 4-3 end, right? I mean, you're playing him inside, but you've already got Kawan Short, who you just extended. You drafted Vernon Butler last year, and you got Starr, who's still got a 5th-year option coming up. I mean, that's kind of a tough spot for him, right?
What about Derek Barnett in that spot?
I think Barnett would be, to me, the order of picks I would go, look, you're not taking, the Panthers will not take a defensive back. The group of guys I would go with if I was Carolina at that spot, the number one option would be Solomon Thomas. The number two option would be OJ Howard. The number three option would be Derek Barnett. And Barnett's going to be on the board there, I think. So I think you could go.
OJ Howard? What the hell would the Panthers take OJ Howard for?
Why wouldn't they take OJ Howard? Can block in both the running game and the passing game.
They got more pressing needs than that.
Well, Pete, I will.
I'll defend the same reason that the Titans would do it. You line up with two tight ends and you make it more difficult to match up.
And you know Cam loves to throw to the tight end. Yeah. I don't think that's a terrible pick, but I will say that I like the Barnett fit the best out of everything we talked about. Charles Johnson, he's on a 1-year rental right now. He probably won't be back after this year. I like Mario Addison, but
Peppers
is he a difference maker?
Peppers is 120.
Actually, just turned 121 last week. Happy birthday to Julius Peppers.
They need a blue chip defensive end to come in and work under Peppers, to work under Charles Johnson, to work with Addison, to work with Wes Horton. And they need a blue chip end on that defensive line. And if you put a guy like Barnett or a guy like Solomon Thomas in there, you have the best defensive line in football.
If either of the two safeties is available, they could be a factor there. They've always had problems on the back end with their safeties. One of these two guys could solve that.
Well, I think Dave Gettleman clearly showed you last year he doesn't really give a damn about the secondary. Shout out to Julio Jones in his 300-yard game last season. Now, the Bengals at number 9 interest me, and I'll tell you why. They were bad for so long and then got good for that prolonged period of time, mostly on the strength of positive drafts, building through the draft, keeping some of that talent. They haven't really nailed a first-round pick, you could argue, since A.J. Green back a number of years ago here. So this is a vital spot here for the Bengals front office to nail this pick. I think it's going to be on the defensive side of the ball. Pete, start with you. What are the Bengals going to do here at number 9?
Yeah, it's going to be on defense. And you know, when you look at it, Reuben Foster makes all the sense in the world. They've taken some guys who've had problems over the years on, and, you know, he would be lining up next to one of those guys,
You liked Vontaze Burfict, you'll love Reuben Foster.
Right. And to me, Reuben Foster is Ray Lewis. That's who he plays like. He plays like Ray Lewis. So if you're the Bengals, you have to consider that. You also have to consider Jonathan Allen and Derek Barnett. The right defensive end position has been a disaster. They brought Michael Johnson back. He hasn't played up to it. I think that's a possibility as well. But I'm with you. They have to address the defensive front 7.
Yeah, I think the Bengals are a team. You know, the Bengals are a team, when you start looking at the over-unders for teams that, like, you want to bet the over, bet the under for NFL teams, I might like the under in the Bengals. I know you talk about all that drafting and developing. I feel like they've got a lot of holes. I mean, they still got a ton of talent, but that's a tough division.
I don't agree with that anymore.
Really?
I don't think they have a ton of, right, where's the talent?
Well, like,
Green, Andy Dalton, who played really well last year.
You agree with my stance that the Bengals aren't that good?
Eifert when he's on the field, right?
Okay, you gave us 3 players all on offense.
Geno Atkins.
Geno's getting up there. I agree, Geno's good, but I mean, but this team, they don't exactly are loaded with blue chippers here.
Dunlop, Kirkpatrick played well last year.
Dre Kirkpatrick?
I'll give you some young guys that are going to – Andrew Billings is going to be a star on defensive tackle. He didn't play all last year. Keep an eye on him. I mean, they have a lot of young bodies. Remember their first-round pick a year ago didn't play, William Jackson. He got hurt right away, a corner. They have young talent mixed in with old talent. Are they a Super Bowl team? Probably not.
I wouldn't mind seeing them go receiver either. I thought that losing the guys that they lost in free agency caused – and look, AJ Green was fantastic, but he was a target hog. It feels like adding another weapon would not be a terrible option for Andy Dalton. I don't know that they'll necessarily do that, but I like that idea.
Because you lose Mosinu and you lose Marvin Jones. Yeah, and I was going to say, you guys, who is Pete, your number one wide receiver on the board? Who is it?
Davis from Western Michigan. That's the guy. Okay. I mean, he to me is clearly number one. I worry about Mike Williams and his ability to separate. I don't think he gets separation the way you should as an NFL receiver. He's a big, strong, physical guy. He can go make all the plays. But remember, there was a Mike Williams from USC who came out years ago. And
that is so unfair, man. Just because they have the same name.
No, they played the same game, except Mike Williams got fatter when he got to the NFL. And that was a big problem.
And he also had a year off before Matt Millen took him as his third consecutive. It's not Mike Williams' fault. It's their fault.
I don't think he separates well enough. John Ross, I think, is going to be a really good player in the NFL. Yep. I think there's some injury concerns there that are scaring off teams, though.
I like John Ross the best out of the wide receivers. But obviously, yes, the injuries are a pretty big concern.
All right, another team that could potentially need a wide receiver, the Buffalo Bills at number 10. Not much there outside of Sammy Watkins. Sean McDermott, the new power player in that organization. Doug Whaley's still there, but he has been minimized, and I think that Bills fans should be very happy about that. Mr. Brinson, what do you think the first pick of the Sean McDermott era will look like for Buffalo?
I think this is another – now, they're sort of hampered by the Charles Clay contract. It's a really, really – R.J. White, one of our editors, is a Bills fan. And he was like, just go look at the Clay contract. You know, like, have you looked at that contract in a while? Probably not. You know, you're not.
The Doug Whaley's a disaster. I mean, the
contract
is
it's a disaster.
Everything he touches doesn't turn into gold. It turns into a word that I can't say on a family friendly podcast.
Poop.
something euphemism for poop that starts with S and ends with T and is high in the middle.
I think OJ Howard could be in play here. You know, I'm curious to see how this defense sort of shifts under McDermott. You know, clearly you got a blueprint for what he might want to do based on what the Panthers did. So you would kind of think that maybe, Derek Barnett could be an option there too. Potentially early. I don't know. I don't buy that that's actually early for Barnett. So I could see Howard going there. I wouldn't be stunned if they had quarterback, if there was a quarterback still on the board that they liked. Or clearly any defensive player would probably work.
Tre'Davious White, a corner, is a possibility there as well. Remember, they lost Gilmore. They have Darby on the other side. They got major issues on the other side in a division with Tom Brady. You got to be able to cover. So I think that's a possibility. I also think you got to look to the offensive side of the ball. One of those receivers we just talked about, the receivers aren't very, you know, Sammy Watkins in and out of the lineup. You don't know what he can do. They need some weapons on that offensive side of the ball, which is why Howard makes sense if he's there as well. Howard, receiver, Barnett, or maybe Tre'Davious White, one of the corners.
And remember, the Bills losing Robert Woods in free agency, Mike Gillisley, they didn't match the offer sheet for him with the Patriots. Also worth noting that the Bills' top two draft picks last year, Shaq Lawson didn't play the full season, Reggie Ragland injured in training camp, he doesn't even play a single game. So the Bills will have some young pieces here on defense next year that didn't necessarily flash last year because of injuries. So I think the Bills need to target offense here at number 10. Now, a team that definitely won't be targeting offense, we presume at least, with picks number 11 and 32, the New Orleans Saints. They of the just signing Adrian Peterson variety. Still got Drew Brees here, trading Brandon Cooks, but this team, it's been the same marching orders here for Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis and company for the past however many years. They gotta get this defense figured out here. I would be stunned if they didn't go defense. Pete, who do you think the pick will be at 11?
I think it's going to be Barnett if he's there, and it makes all the sense in the world to get another edge rusher. They've had problems trying to get somebody, you know, opposite Cam Jordan to rush the passer. I think this is the guy. If he's there, I do think he might be there as well. Look, if Foster's there, they'd have to consider him as well. And any of the corners. I mean, the corners have been an issue for a long, long time in New Orleans. So I think you have to look on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, I think I want to see them. Talk about, but I think I want to see the Saints do this like 3-week thing where we got to get better on defense. We got to get better on defense. We are going to draft defense and then draft Christian McCaffrey at 12 or something
like
that.
Or draft John Ross to replace Brandon Cooks.
Right.
It wouldn't be a bad pick at the back end of the first round when they pick with their second first round pick. John Ross would make a lot of sense in the back end, but not there. At this spot, they have to get defense. It's a must.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think defense, you know, I think you have to take, Gary, you know, I think you, in one of your mocks on here, Pete, you had Gary and Conley. Maybe, I mean, it was probably an older mock, obviously.
I took him off.
Yeah.
He's not in my mock.
Right. Yeah. I think you have to take him off the board. So that shortens the cornerbacks a little bit. I wouldn't be surprised if they went cornerback. I think Barnett would work. I think Reuben Foster has to be in play here a little bit. Taco Charlton is a guy that you could look at. Charles Harris.
Not Taco. He's not in play. It's too early for him.
One of these rushers they could go with. I think they are going to go defense. And I think it just depends on how that board shapes up in terms of who's sitting there out there for him. If the blue chip edge rushers aren't there, you go with a cornerback.
Okay, give me a one-word answer here. Will the Saints and Patriots work out a trade on draft night that sends Malcolm Butler to the Big Easy? Yes or no, Will?
No.
Pete? No, I don't think so. I don't think so either. I think they want that 11 pick, and they're not going to give it up.
Okay, also worth noting here, the Saints took Sheldon Rankins last year in the first round, the big DT out of Louisville. He'll be healthy, presumably, this year, so they will have some other reinforcements coming on that defensive line. Now we got the Cleveland Browns at 12. We hit them already at number 1 thoroughly here in what they might do at number 12. I think that's pretty clear. Myles Garrett and potentially trade up for a quarterback. So let's skip them and move on to the Arizona Cardinals at number 13 here. A lot of smoke here about Bruce Arians, Steve Keim and company potentially looking at a quarterback. Pete, we'll begin with you because Bruce Arians, of course, is one of your man crushes. Where do you see the Bird Gang going here at number 13? Will it be a quarterback? And if so, who is it going to be?
I think it's going to be Haason Reddick if he's there. I think that's their pick. It'd be a great pick. They lost Kevin Minner. They didn't re-sign him. He signed with the Bengals on a one-year deal. They need a playmaker in the middle of their defense. This kid can line up outside, inside, wherever you want to. I think Haason Reddick would be a great pick. If he's gone, Patrick Mahomes could be in play at that spot. I've heard they really like Mahomes. He's raw. He could come in, play, you know, learn under Palmer for a year. They can teach him a lot of the mechanics. Bruce is very good with quarterbacks. I think that would make a lot of sense. So I think that pick will basically come down to Reddick or Mahomes.
Wow. Reddick's fascinating because we talk about guys who are flying up boards in the offseason. I mean, he is justifiably flying up the boards and clearly people like him.
Like remarkably so, Will. Over the course of the last few days.
Yeah. I mean, but that's sort of the cool thing about this draft process, the way, you know, maybe it didn't work 10 years ago is that there's enough out there for people to, you know, everyone can get a look at this kid, and Temple's not that small a school, right? I mean, but I agree with Pete. I think that'd be a good pick there if he is there. It's possible he could be off the board already. He could end up going. I mean, Pete, you think he could go top 10?
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, look, the Bengals could take him at 10, yeah. at 9. Yeah. I mean, that's a possibility. Bill's the kid's talented, man. And he went to the Senior Bowl and he proved a lot of people that he could handle playing with the big boys. And he did a really good job. So, and the versatility's there. He can play in a bunch of different spots. He can move him around. I think he's gone by 13 no matter what.
Wow.
All right, let's move into the lightning round of this podcast here. We got about 15 minutes left here before we got to wrap, or maybe sooner than that. But Will, this podcast thus far, I would describe it as delicious, my friend. Tell me about something else that is delicious that all our listeners need to know about.
All our listeners should go to blueapron.com/roughing if you like free and you like delicious, just like this podcast.
Who doesn't like free and delicious, buddy? I like free and delicious. I'm all in on Blue Apron.
Blue Apron is the jam. It taught my wife how to become a better cook. Made our family closer. Made everybody
happy.
Marriage better. Food better. I'm fatter. It's fantastic. Not fatter. I'm actually in better shape because it's great food. BlueApron.com/roughing. Affordable, variety, flexible, easy. Here's some of the meals, guys, that they are cranking out lately. Spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell pepper, and ricotta salata.
God, that sounds delicious.
That's for you, Pete. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice.
Love bok choy.
Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli and baby broccoli and fontina paninis with hard-boiled egg and arugula salad. That's fantastic meals. Go to blueapron.com/roughing. Get three free meals with free shipping. Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
But listen, only go to Blue Apron, though, if you like free and delicious. If you like to get paid and you like to get overcharged and you like crappy food, don't go to Blue Apron. But if you do like free and you like delicious and you are an upstanding member of the human race, you know what to do. Check out Blue Apron, as our buddy Will Brinson just told you here. So as we wrap up this podcast, lightning round, rapid fire fashion here, not in-depth analysis. Start with the Philadelphia Eagles, Will Brinson at number 14.
McCaffrey. I like weapons for Wentz. Go McCaffrey.
Pete?
Tre'Davious White, need a corner.
Yeah, I feel like they've spent a lot of money here bringing weapons in on offense or assets, whether it's Alshon Jeffrey or Torrey Smith. So I do think they need to improve the back end of that defense. I'm more with Pete here on them needing help in the secondary. Now, I like what new Colts GM Chris Ballard has done, trying to get tougher on both trenches here, offensive and defensive line. The Colts pick at 15. Will, how about them?
I think you have to keep going defense if you're the Colts, unless you feel like one of these offensive linemen can protect Andrew Luck, provide much needed protection. I mean, maybe you could go with a Ramczyk or a Forrest Lamp. I had Hassan Reddick in my last draft, but if Pete's right and he's not getting past 13, wouldn't be surprised to see them go Reuben Foster if he's potentially there, or to see them go, with one of those edge rushers.
I think they're going to take Malik McDowell. There's my wild card in the first round. I think Malik McDowell, big physical player. You look at their down players, they got all kinds of problems there. The Perry kid had his issues off the field. He got arrested. They've had some stuff with, you know, in the past with other guys. I think Malik McDowell would make a lot of sense. He is a top 10 talent dropping down because he has some concerns in terms of attitude and off the field stuff for some scouts.
We close off the first half of the first round at number 16 with the Baltimore Ravens. Peter Prisco, the floor is yours.
I think they got to take the best offensive lineman in this draft, and that's Forrest Lamp. He is the best lineman. He played left
even
tackle
after taking college. Ronnie Stanley early last year in the first round.
Yeah, because they have a big hole at right tackle with the loss of Ricky Wagner. Remember, they let Jeremy Zuda, their center, go. This kid can play center. He can play guard. He can play tackle. I would take him. The other possibility would be a wide receiver in that spot. If one of those wide receivers is sitting there, they need it. And that would probably be Mike Williams because he's a big physical receiver and they have the speed guys already opposite him.
Yeah, I got Mike Williams. I think receiver help. Lamp obviously is a very good player.
All right, about 5 minutes left here. Let's do this. Bottom half of the first round here. From the sounds of it, you guys think that Trubisky and Mahomes are going to be the first two quarterbacks off the board. What other quarterbacks, if any, do you see going in round number one? And if you do see them going, what fit do you think they'll end up in? What team will they end up with? Will, start with you.
Who did we say? We said Mahomes and Trubisky are off.
Mahomes and Trubisky, yeah, because you guys have both mentioned those two guys a couple times already. We know Trubisky will likely be off the board. Mahomes seems like he's the consensus number two guy, at least among you two that I'm doing the podcast with right now. So let's assume that those two are off the board. Which other quarterbacks do you definitely see going in round one? Is it Watson? Is it maybe Davis Webb, Deshaun Kizer? Who do you like?
I think it's Watson. I think Watson's going there. Depends on how the Chiefs feel about Webb, you know, whether that happens. There's a rumor out there today, I think, that the Browns would take Webb at 33 if they miss out on Trubisky. I think
Cleveland would burn to the ground.
I think the Texans would be pretty thrilled if they got Watson because of his ability to play right away in theory, if he can work in that Bill O'Brien system. And you got a guy who played at the biggest possible stage. I don't see how the Texans don't come away with a quarterback. I could see Deshaun Watson working pretty well in Andy Reid's system if Andy Reid wanted to trade up and get him.
Yeah, I think Deshaun Watson's going to wind up in Kansas City, to be honest with you. I think that's a pick that makes a lot of sense. And I think you're going to see a team from that's quarterback needy trade back into the back end of the first round and take Davis Webb. Because, look, Davis Webb, the scouts I talked to said Davis Webb had a pro day when it was pouring out and they were wondering, oh, this kid's not going to look as good as he should. And he threw rockets all over the place and he loves the game. I think Davis Webb will get a quarterback needy team that comes back into the back end of the first round.
Will either Dalvin Cook or Joe Mixon go in the first round?
Yes.
Cook might, Mixon won't. Mixon will go in the second round.
I agree. I don't think you can't deal with the heat, the publicity heat of taking Mixon in the first. I think Cook does go in the first, but you could see him sliding.
What are the Dallas Cowboys going to do at pick number 28?
T.J. Watt or Charles Harris or Tack McKinley. They have to
so
get a
pass rusher for you, no brainer, no doubt.
Those are the three names.
How about someone in the back end of that secondary? We know that they took Byron Jones a couple of years ago. His Connecticut teammate, Obi Melifonwu, has been mentioned as well. Is that a potential for Jerry Jones, Jason Garrett, and company?
If the pass rushers are gone, I think it is. But I've heard that those are the guys they like. They want those pass rushers. They want one of those pass rushers.
And it's a good spot for him, too. It wouldn't be stunning if they took a secondary player because of the losses they've had. But I think you got to understand that if you don't have that pass rush, and you don't really know how your guys are going to hold up, even the ones on the roster right now. If you don't have that pass rush, your secondary can get exposed. They need to be able to get pressure on the quarterback, and this is a good draft to pick up a pass rusher.
And let's wrap with this here. What surprises do you think we'll see in the back end of the first round here, whether it be a trade, a quarterback, or a player that people are not expecting to go in round number one? Pete, I know you said you like Malik McDowell, so let's stay away from him for right now. Give me something else that you think could surprise coming up on Thursday night in Philly.
Derek Rivers from Youngstown State, wow, a pass rusher. I think he could find his way into the back end of the first round. And the other guy is Adoree Jackson, yeah, the corner/return man from USC. Love his game. I think he'll be an explosive player on the next level. I think those are two guys that could possibly find their way into the back end.
Jackson was the name I was going to say, but Pete used two names, so I'm hosed there. I think you look at him and you see a guy that if he had stayed one more year at USC, maybe he's a top pick in the draft. But if he can get into the first round this year, and I think people were projecting here. So why not take a gamble, especially when you look at the teams on this back end, whether it's the Packers, the Steelers, the Cowboys, even the Saints, you're talking teams and the Falcons, teams that are going to be looking to go defense. I think Adoree Jackson gets in there.
By the way, one more guy, there's a little safety at North Carolina State, Will, who you know very well.
Josh Jones, baby.
Good chance. He's one of those surprise guys that could find himself in the back end of the first round.
Yeah, I think the things you've seen Jones going is creep too, right? It's going for like the mid 40s up into the 30s. And then now, you know, people are talking.
I'm telling you, starting to hear it. He might end up in the first round.
Wow.
All right. I will close this out as a New York Giants homer by issuing my plea to Jerry Reese to please take Ryan Ramczyk out of Wisconsin. Need to fortify that offensive line. Kick Eric Flowers over to right tackle. Let Ramczyk protect Eli Manning's blind side. And let's get some more wins this year for the New York Giants. This offense has got to get cranked into high gear. Will Brinson and Pete Prisco, really appreciate it. And a reminder for the audience, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, CBSSports.com, the CBS Sports app, all streaming devices. We will have you covered for every single pick of the NFL draft. Yours truly will be hosting alongside Will, alongside Pete Prisco. Jason Lockenfora will be here. Brady Quinn will be here. Luke Rogers making the trip from Nashville, Tennessee, our 24/7 sports NFL insider, John Beeson, DJ Williams. We've got a great cast, Jamie Eisenberg and Dave Richard, breaking everything down from a fantasy perspective. Do not miss it. We will be covering the draft differently than you will see on ESPN and NFL Network. More focus on teams, more focus on fantasy, Pete Prisco's draft grades, and all our opinions and analysis over the next 3 days. CBSSports.com, the CBS Sports app, and all streaming devices. And of course, it is hosted by yours truly. Gentlemen, thank you very much, and look forward to renewing acquaintances tomorrow, draft day 2017. You've been listening to the Roughing the Passer podcast on CBS Sports.